Next up, you will be listening to United Way Community Connections with Mike Affelberg.
United Way Community Connections. United Way Community Connections broadcasts every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WSMN. In United Way Community Connections, you will be introduced to leaders from all of the great nonprofits in Greater Nashua, from caring for our children to our seniors, from helping our homeless pets to our at-risk vets, from learning the skills to get your GED, to dealing with trauma and substance abuse. Community Connections is the place to learn with Mike Affelberg about what's going on. Learn how you can help and make a difference from the experts. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show, which is making a difference in Greater Nashua. Here's your host, Mike Affelberg.
Well, good morning and welcome to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It is Monday, April 8th, 2024. It is Solar Eclipse Day. Well, I know everybody's been sort of waiting with bated breath on their, sitting on their hands, excited as all get out for the big day, the solar eclipse. You know, in our area, Manchester, Nashua, this region, we're looking at pretty darn near total solar eclipse. You know, not total like up north, but I think they're saying 90-ish percent or so. So certainly significant. I will tell you, on the way into work today, there was a lot of northbound traffic. A lot of people who normally are not hitting the roads this early in the morning were on their way up north. You could tell. It felt a little bit like one of those, you know, Friday evenings when people are going up to the lakes or for the weekend up to the mountains. But looks like there's a lot of excitement here. So I don't know about you. I'll probably be working during the eclipse and I'll probably forget it altogether, be in a meeting indoors and, you know, not even notice anything. But I'll try my darndest to get outside and, yes, not stare into the sun without those special glasses, but because don't do that. You don't want to hurt your eyeballs. But anyway, it's a very exciting thing for a lot of people. So I guess happy Solar Eclipse Day. Listen, I hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I had a great weekend. We had our grandson with us the whole weekend, so now I'm exhausted. But it was great. We took him to the yesterday. It was a pretty nice day. Not super nice, but pretty nice. We took him to the Seacoast Science Center on Odeon Point, over near Castle Island in the Portsmouth area. And it's such a fun little science museum. Good for kids of all ages. He's 2.5. You know, and going on about 18, and just loved seeing all the little fishes and exhibits and stuff like that. So if you ever get a chance, if you have little ones, I'd say, you know, up through the age of, 8, 9, 10 for sure, definitely take them out there. It's a great little place. So we did that, and we had lots of other adventures this weekend with him as well. So always a great time with our grandson. I tell people it's the best. It is literally the best. And we also had the grand puppy with us. That is just icing on the cake as far as I'm concerned. She's as a dog lover, she is like the best dog in the whole world. I challenge you to prove me wrong. So anyway, that was us. Hope you had a great weekend as well. Busy times here in the community, lots and lots going on. And just a couple things I wanted to mention at United Way before we talk about our show. So coming up in a couple short weeks, we have our community baby shower. I think it's our 7th or 8th time doing the community baby shower. And it's just such a wonderful event. We usually have between, somewhere around 65 to 75 families, young moms, expecting parents, people with brand new babies that are referred to us by our partners at agencies like Family Promise and Marguerite's Place and the Adult Learning Center, clients of theirs, and they come to us. And, they get a lot of things that have been donated by the community, baby things. So it is a baby shower. We got everything from diapers and wipes to strollers and cribs, baby bags, baby blankets, all things that have been donated by our very generous community. And then we have a little bit of a resource fair set up for families to learn more about what is available in the community so that they won't feel totally out there on their own. And I know that feeling because thinking back 30 years ago when we had our daughter, it was, you know, we were living out in Rhode Island by ourselves, no family around, and it felt a little lonely. We didn't feel super connected yet to the community. And we were new parents, so we didn't really know anything. Becoming a parent is one of those things you think in your 20s that you know everything there is to know about everything. And then you have a baby, and you realize you don't know anything about anything. And that's a shocking and rude awakening. So we had that. And, you know, so this baby shower is just one of those things that really helps connect families to resources and gets them off to a great start in life. So that's coming up at United Way. And we're still accepting donations of items. There's a list on our website. So if you go to our website, unitedwaynashua.org, and look under the events page, under events, you'll find a link for the baby shower, and you can click on that, and you'll see all the different things that we're looking for still for the community baby shower. So that's coming up, and we're excited. Then right around the corner from that is Mother's Day. Yes, Mother's Day. I look forward to Mother's Day at United Way every year because we have taken up a collection of contributions from people, and just small donations, $12. A donation is just $12, and what that buys you is our volunteers will put together a bouquet of flowers for a homeless mom in our community. And these are moms who are living in places like Mary's House or Marguerite's Place or the Front Door Agency, Gianna's Place, you know, a number of different agencies. Usually we put together about 150 bouquets of flowers, so we've got a donation drive going on right now. Again, on our website, look under the events, and you'll see Mother's Day flowers for homeless moms. $12 is just one bouquet of flowers. Our volunteers put them together and deliver them Friday before that special weekend, and we're pretty excited about that. And by the way, you know, that weekend, speaking of that weekend, if you're like me and you're a, you know, bad husband who always forgets Father's Day. Never forget Father's Day. Whoops. If you're a bad husband like me and you always forget Mother's Day, well, we have Friday of Mother's Day weekend, our second annual wine tasting event out at Fulcino Vineyard. And this is a nice little way to spend the evening with your loved one, buy her a ticket, go with her. Maybe the best Mother's Day you can give her is buy her a ticket and don't go with her. I don't know. That's up to you, and that is your relationship. I will be taking my wife, and we will be going to this event and enjoying each other's company and a couple of really nice glasses of wine from Fulcino Vineyard and some tasting and some learning about this year the history of winemaking and wine culture from wine expert Al Fulcino, owner of Fulcino's Vineyard. So that's coming up Friday of Mother's Day weekend. We're so excited about doing that again. And that is just a lead up to the big day, which is coming up. And that's Over the Edge, Over the Edge, our seventh annual Over the Edge event. We only skipped the pandemic year of 2020, but we did it every other year since, you know, before and after, I think since 2017, maybe 2016. Over the Edge is an event where the community comes around. There are usually about, well, this year there are about 18 or 19 different nonprofits involved. Each nonprofit has its own team. That includes our very own Nashua Children's Home, who will be on the show a little bit later on. And they rappel from the top of the Brady Sullivan Tower in Manchester, and they raise money for their organization. So it's a great fundraiser, super unique in that it's a community fundraiser where organizations come together not just to support themselves, but they cheer for each other too. And that is, for me, one of the, you know, most remarkable and wonderful things about this event. So that's coming up in June. There's a lot of information on our website about that too. Again, all of this stuff can be found at unitedwaynashua.org, and just go to the events tab. So we have a great show on deck for you. We have two interviews this morning, as we usually do. We're going to be speaking with our friends from the Nashua Children's Home, and we're also going to be speaking with our friends from Heartfelt Dreams Foundation, each of them doing unique and different things in our community. and we're excited to have them with us on the show today. You are listening to the Community Connections Radio Show. We're going to take a very short break to hear from our sponsors, and after that, we'll be back with our first interview. My name's Mike, and this is the Community Connections Radio Show on WSMN 1590 AM and 95.3 FM.
I need to get some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen-printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years' experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
We all wander. The rocky beaches beckon, the mystical forest calls, and the steep hills of life lure us up and down. Sometimes we lose our way. It's okay. Come home to Wanderlust Therapeutic Services, a leader in behavioral health counseling. We take true pride in caring for you, yours, and our community's mental health and well-being. We're in this together, guiding you through whatever life throws your way. Life has a way of doing that. Get well. Get back to wandering. The world awaits. If you or someone close to you needs competent mental health care, call Wanderlust Therapeutic Services at 603-889-3553. Conveniently located at 400 Amherst Street in Nashua, right off Exit 8 on Route 3.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Well, good Monday morning, and welcome to the United Way Community Connections Radio Show. I'm your host, Mike Affelberg. It is Monday, April 8th, 2024. We're coming to you live from WSMN 1590 AM and 95.3 AM, right in the heart of downtown Nashua. By the way, if you want to find other ways to listen to our show, you can listen live streaming on WSMN.live. You can also ask your smart speaker, Alexa, Echo, Google, hey, play the Community Connections Radio Show, and through the miracle of science, I don't know how that works. Our voices will come to you live over the air. And last but very not least, you can see us live on Facebook. We're on Facebook Live under the United Way of Greater Nashua's Facebook page. That's United Way GN for Greater Nashua. And that's a great place to ask questions if you happen to have any. See that stream and say hi, say howdy, and ask a question or leave a comment. We always love that. So we're live today in the studio for, I believe, the very first time. Matt Fentros is with us. He's the new executive director over at the Nashua Children's Home. Just joined up and, well, he's been there for quite a while, but just stepped into that capacity a couple months ago. So Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Mike. Appreciate being here and speaking a bit about the Children's Home.
Well, we're glad to have you, and I know you're new in your role, and that's a big job. And how's it going?
Good so far. You know, taking over for Dave Vigliotti, who was there for 38 years, definitely some big shoes to fill. Fortunately for me, in my transition into the role, he's been able to stay on for a few months, like one day a week, helping with consulting. So definitely learning a lot of new things, and you know, it's going great so far.
Now, Dave is a good guy, and we're glad you know, that he's still hanging around to help you out a little bit. But it's very important to me, Matt, to know who your favorite football team is. Dave and I had a lot of conversations about this over the years.
Yeah, I know you're the 49ers fan.
I am, yeah. And if Dave was sitting across from me right now, I'm sure he'd be telling me about how great it is that the Niners just traded Brandon Ayuk to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'd be going, Dave, whatever, man, leave me alone.
He's been talking about the quarterbacks a lot too the last couple of weeks that they got.
So. I'm sure he has.
So my I have two favorite teams. One, NFL Patriots fan, and then I went to college at Auburn University, which is a big football school as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Follow that team pretty closely.
It definitely is. College football has never been a thing for me. You know, I grew up in California, and college ball is just not the same, doesn't have the same, you know, aura that it does out in the Midwest or Southeast or even in the Northeast, but mostly, you know, Southeast and Midwest. College football is just huge. The school I went to, they won the division championship one year, and nobody really even knew. We're like, oh, we did? Oh, how awesome.
Celebrate.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, Matt, welcome to the show. Matt, welcome to the big seat at the Children's Home. That's exciting.
Thank you.
So for people who don't know much about the Nashua Children's Home, maybe give the 30,000-foot overview of what you actually do at the Nashua Children's Home.
Sure. So we've been in the city since 1903. We started out as the Nashua Protestant Orphanage Association. We moved to our current address at 125 Amherst Street in 1922. Our program has three different arms to it. The main one is the residential program. So we have kids that live with us that are placed through the court system, either through an abuse neglect petition or a juvenile delinquency petition. We're licensed for 46 children. At most times, we have between 35 and 40 at any time. The second piece of our program is the educational program. We provide special education services to Greater Nashua area students who are unsuccessful in the public school.
So you actually have a school up at the Children's Home, an actual school.
We do. Yep. Right now we have 14 to 15 students. In years past, we've been over 20, but the needs and referrals have changed a bit. But some of the kids that are part of our residential program take part in the school as well, about half, and then the other half come from surrounding communities to Nashua on a daily basis. And then the third arm to our program is the Transitional Living Program, which is a program for young adults who age out of residential care or that are in the Nashua community that require or need housing assistance. We provide very cheap rent, $200-$300 a month, great apartments, right around all the public transportation, and they can get around the town pretty quickly. We also support them with ongoing stuff about getting their driver's license, securing employment, pursuing education. So the residents we support there are 18 to 22 years old. They can stay for a month or two, or they can be there for years.
That's pretty remarkable. So you have, and that is a program, my understanding is, that is almost entirely funded by private donations and contributions. Is that right?
It is. A lot of the funding we seek through grants for that program, and it's totally sustained on its own through donations as well.
So thank you for that overview of all of your programs. Now, you have a busy springtime coming up. I understand you guys are participating in this year's Over the Edge event. Is that right?
We are, yes.
Are you going to do it?
Okay.
That's always a hard one.
We have one more spot open, so we'll see. But last year was our first year at National Children's Home participating, and we had three staff members participate. They all raised quite a bit of money, and it was a great event. I went, and my wife was one of the participants, so I watched her. This year we've upped it. We're going to have six total rappellers. Like Mike said, we have one left to go, so could be me, could be somebody else. We'll see.
Now, I know Danielle is a repeater. She's going to do this again, and that's fantastic. I think she led the team last year as well.
She did.
Fantastic. Now, one of the things I always tell our Over the Edge teams is, you know, when you're raising money, try to raise money for something specific, right? Is if it's a specific project versus something general, typically donors respond better to a specific ask. Is there something that you guys are trying to raise money for this year?
Sure, yes. It's been going on since the end of last year, but we're looking to raise funds for a new playground on the children's home. The current playground we have is very outdated, doesn't have a lot of the features that a lot of the kids, you know, see at most playgrounds nowadays. So we started a big drive in November, made a big push again in January, and we're reaching our goal pretty soon here. So we're hopefully breaking ground on that in the next month or two, and we'll have it ready late spring, early summer.
That's terrific. So you can make a donation or become that sixth person on the children's home team. I'll tell you the easiest way to do either of those is, I mentioned this in my intro, unitedwaynashua.org is the United Way website. On the tab that says events, you can go down to Over the Edge. When you click on that, you'll see the whole page for the entire event. Click on the place that says teams. You'll see Nashua Children's Home there, and there's an option to join this team or to make a donation. And you know, you'll be helping to build a playground as well, and that's pretty fantastic. So thank you for doing that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you for setting us up with that. It's definitely helps us out quite a bit, the donations and getting some of those programs in place.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Matt, one of the things I always try and ask our people I interview is, are there ways in which the community can get involved in supporting you as volunteers?
Yes, we receive help from volunteers all the time, both individually. We've had a number of Eagle Scouts over the years come and help build sheds for bikes, for our lawnmower equipment. We have several sheds on campus. Other things that folks do, we have some businesses, corporations that come and help with yard cleanup, like a spring cleanup. I think we're in the works right now with trying to secure one of those. And then we have other folks that come in and donate their time or services to the children directly. We've had a number of stylists or barbers come in, cut the children's hair. We've had yoga, dance classes, things like that. So anyone interested in that could reach out to Danielle Ferreira. Her email's on our website, nashuachildrenshome.org.
Yeah, I was just looking at your website. So nashuachildrenshome.org, and there's an about tab that has the team, but there's also a contact form that you can fill out as well. Also a phone number, just call over and ask. So Danielle is the one who coordinates all of that.
Yep, Danielle is our recreation and training coordinator and deals with setting up all those volunteer opportunities.
Okay, so now one question I wanted to ask you is, are there spots available within the children's home right now, or do you have like a backlog? Different agencies in the community that do housing programs will always tell me how full they are, and yours is a little unique. So
sure,
do you have spots or do you have a waiting list? How does that work?
Are you speaking about the youth or for staff members looking to join?
Oh, for youth. I'm sorry. Youth. Okay. For your actual services you provide.
Yes. Well, one of the things we're facing is we do have some staffing shortages at times. So it hinders our ability to bring in more children and provide those services. In the last several weeks, we've had three new residential counselors start. We have three more starting in the coming weeks. So we're definitely helping out our staffing, and we can look to provide more services to those children. We've seen over the last year or two, our adolescent girls and younger girls, so younger girls like 8 to 14 and adolescent 14 to 18, we've been at capacity for the last year or two on both of those units. The need for for placement for teenage girls is, you know, probably five times more than any referral that we get for our boys. So we're definitely, we have a wait list for both those units right now. Our younger boys and older boys units are about half capacity. So, we accept referrals from state workers. We speak to CASA attorneys. They call us often to see what our wait list is like and how we can best serve the people they work with.
So there is a little bit, but it doesn't hurt to ask nevertheless. How long do the children at the children's home typically end up living with you?
Sure. We do get emergency referrals where they're there just a few days or a few weeks, but most of the children are with us for a few months, 4 or 5 months. We do have some other children that have more complex permanency issues that are unable to return home. Parents still have rights, so it's tough to place them elsewhere. Within the foster care or adoption or anything like that. So we do have some children, unfortunately, that are with us for a number of years.
Now, you mentioned, so everybody who comes on this show gets jargony at times because everybody's an expert in their field. So you mentioned the term permanency. Mm-hmm. That's a technical term, right? For you, it's just language. But
sure.
What does permanency actually refer to? What does that mean?
It's around their placement status and where we can place them and where they can be best served, whether it's in a foster home or residential placement or relative care. So every 2 to 3 months, the children need to, or the case is looked at within the court system to figure out permanency, what's in the best interest of this child moving forward.
And does the state of New Hampshire try to reunite families? Is that their imperative, or what's really the goal with most cases from the state's perspective?
Sure. In 2021, the Families First Act went into, was placed into law, and New Hampshire, the Division of Children, Youth, and Families is charged with finding the least restrictive placement for children that come across their case file. So they will do their best to find relatives, siblings, anyone that they can live with that would be suitable for them. As you know, those start to unravel or don't work out or they can't find that, they start to look at foster care. There is a shortage right now of foster care around the state. We do get referrals recently that a kid otherwise wouldn't need residential care. There's just no spots in the foster care system, so they end up at National Children's Home and other placements.
So it's a challenge, right? You know, trying to get families reunited. But also you do have kids who get adopted right out of the children's home. Is that true?
Sure. Yep. One of the programs that the state works with is WMUR, Home at Last program.
I've seen it.
Yes. Great program. They take the children off for a day, do something really special and talk about their needs and that they're up for adoption. We have one of our youth is on that show on April 22nd coming up. So we enjoy that program. There's some other programs at Mel's Funway Park. They have an adoption event there that we take the kids to. So there's definitely a lot of opportunity to reunite folks with foster care and adoption services. But our main push is really working with the family-centered practice and getting kids, you know, that have homes that they can return to and repair those relationships with their parents.
Okay, very good. So last question I had, Matt, was I often get asked by people who want to donate things, what are sort of the most needed items? And so in case of the children's home, if somebody wants to donate maybe clothing or toys or books or, you know, baby items or whatever it is, mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the most needed items that you guys kind of typically run out of and need more of?
Sure. Clothing's always a big one.
Okay.
We have some kids that, you know, a recent child came in with just the clothes on their back, and we have a kind of like a donations in our basement where we kind of walk through and pick out clothing for them. So clothing's always big. We have a lot of donors that drop that off. Haircuts is another big one. We take a lot of the kids to Supercuts. We do have some donors that donate gift cards there. Another way you could look to donate, we have an Amazon wish list that you can find through our Facebook page and our website, and we have people purchase items off that all the time. And during the holiday season, it's more focused towards toys and gifts, but around the year, it's just some of those needed items.
And probably, I'd imagine, just general gift cards as well. So, you know, you mentioned clothing sometime. I mean, who knows if it's going to be the right clothing, but if you bought a gift card for, say, Target or Walmart or something like that, that might be a good way to go, too.
That is big. Every April and August, we provide a certain amount of money for each of the children to go out clothes shopping. Walmart and Target are two of the stores we use. Marshall's, TJ Maxx, and a lot of the money that we use that go towards the clothing is from donors that provide gift cards to those stores.
Do you also provide transportation for your kids?
We do. We have agency vehicles where we'll drive kids to school. We'll drive them to their medical appointments, drive them to visits. We have a number of girls working on our older girls unit right now, four that we're driving all over Nashua to, you know, drop off and pick up to their jobs. So transportation is a big piece of what we do.
Yeah, I can imagine. I try to think about, you know, when my daughter was a teenager and all the places she needed to go. And boy, it was like a godsend when she got her license and was able to do that herself, although a little horrifying too.
Yes, yep, scary.
But absolutely, Matt. So, look, we're about out of time, but I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today and talking a little bit about the Nashua Children's Home.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. And it's a good way to connect with the community. I'm looking forward to joining you in June for Over the Edge, and we'll see if I end up on the building.
They might end up, you know, we have this little concept called Toss the Boss. Don't tell your team about that, but they fundraise for the opportunity, you know, to raise money to have you, you know, go over the edge and be scared and cry, for me, whimper and cry like a baby, which is what I always do.
But yeah, we'll keep that one between us.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's public now. But look, Matt Fentros with the Nashua Children's Home, they can be found on Facebook for sure, but also their website, which is very robust and easy to find, nashuachildrenshome.org. Lots of needs for volunteers, trying to get a new playground going, some fundraising, support Over the Edge, donate gift cards and clothing, lots of ways to get involved in supporting the mission of the Nashua Children's Home. Thanks again, Matt. Really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break here, and after the break, we'll be back with our second guest, and that's Eric from Heartfelt Dreams Foundation, and you are listening to the United Way Community Connections radio show. I am your host, Mike Affelberg.
I need to get some new shirts for my business.
Just call Sal.
Does he do screen printing also?
Just call Sal.
Does he embroider shirts too?
Just call Sal.
I also need business cards and brochures.
Just call Sal.
How about yard and lawn signs?
Just call Sal.
And promotional products to give my customers?
Just call Sal.
Who is Sal?
I'm Sal. My wife Jennifer and I are the proud owners of Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. If you need embroidered or screen printed shirts, business cards, brochures, lawn signs, promotional products, and even personal protective equipment for your business or organization, just call me or stop by our showroom, conveniently located at 410 South River Road in Bedford, right off the Everett Turnpike. You can also visit our website at fullypromotedsnh.com. That's fullypromotedsnh.com. We are your one-stop shop for all your promotional needs. Fully Promoted of Southern New Hampshire. Our business is to help you grow your business.
Just call Sal.
CrossNet offers IT services for small and medium-sized clients. We create tailor-made plans for your business's unique needs. From computer repairs to managing networks, servers and desktop services, CrossNet Inc. offers managed services, cybersecurity, data backups, virus, ransomware protection, web filtering, and more. For more information, go to crossnetinc.com or call for your personalized IT services today at 603-810-1000. CrossNet Inc. IT services keeps your businesses running when you are on the run.
Edgestone Properties is a leading home builder in Southern New Hampshire. With over 33 years experience, Edgestone offers highly valued residential homes, including first-time buyer, luxury move-up, and senior community opportunities. Edgestone also offers well-located rental apartments, including active adult communities. Visit us at edgestoneproperties.com or call us at 603-889-5208 to learn more. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That's 603-889-5208.
We all wander. The rocky beaches beckon, the mystical forest calls, and the steep hills of life lure us up and down. Sometimes we lose our way. It's okay. Come home to Wanderlust Therapeutic Services, a leader in behavioral health counseling. We take true pride in caring for you, yours, and our community's mental health and well-being. We're in this together, guiding you through whatever life throws your way. Life has a way of doing that. Get well. Get back to wandering. The world awaits. If you or someone close to you needs competent mental health care, call Wanderlust Therapeutic Services at 603-889-3553. Conveniently located at 400 Amherst Street in Nashua, right off Exit 8 on Route 3.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at UnitedWayNashua.org.
Well, good Monday morning, and welcome to the United Way Community Connections Radio Show. It's Monday, April 8th, 2024. It is Solar Eclipse Day for many of us, you know, except for perhaps me. I'm working. I'll probably be indoors, and I won't even know what happened. But for all of you who are super excited, you know, going out to see the eclipse, be careful. Don't ruin your eyes in the process, but enjoy it. This does not happen very often. So we're here today with you're listening to the Community Connections Radio Show. And look, every Monday we interview a couple different local organizations, nonprofits, community leaders that are working to make our community a place which is stronger, smarter, safer, healthier, and happier. And today is no exception. We just had Matt Ventros, the new executive director for the Nashua Children's Home, on, one of those community organizations doing incredible work with our young people. Now we have on the show with us Eric from the Heartfelt Dreams Foundation. Eric, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks again for having me on.
So great to have you as well. Are you a big solar eclipse fan? Are you, or have you been hyping this up, or is this just going to happen regardless of whatever?
I think it's going to be one of those, it's going to happen regardless of what I do.
Well, that's for sure. I don't think we can stop that.
Have a certain affinity to astrological phenomenon, but this is something that I can recall from my childhood, seeing eclipses. So I'm anxious to go through it, see the darkness, see how our dog responds, listen for the birds chirping. But other than that, I'm going to stay off the roads.
I think the Department of Public Works and the roads departments are all very concerned about this. On every highway you drive down, there's signage saying, you know, the eclipse is today, it's in the afternoon, don't stop on the highway, don't pull over. I think they think a lot of people are going to do that. Maybe they are. I wouldn't. I would keep driving and turn on my lights. You know, driving when it's dark is something we do all the time.
We do. And it was funny. I had a conversation with our son last evening. He works in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And I asked him what he was going to do for the eclipse. And he said, well, Dad, I'm going to be working. And I think the sun is on the other side of the building, so I'm not going to pay attention.
Yeah, that's right. I get it. I'll probably be inside in one of our inner like conference rooms or something. It'll happen. I'll be like, oh, yeah, darned, I forgot. Listen, Eric, tell us a little bit about the Heartfelt Dreams Foundation for those who have not heard about the organization and what you do and what the history is and how you're helping people and how people can support you.
Well, Heartfelt Dreams Foundation was born out of our desire, my wife and I, to support congenital heart defect patients. Now, these are babies who are born with structural defects in their heart. It is the number one birth defect in the country, But we realized that there's a need to raise awareness. And my wife happens to be a pioneering patient, where she was born at a time where most of the babies did not survive because open heart surgery had not yet been developed. And so we feel very fortunate in our experience going through what we've gone through to ensure she receives proper care and treatment. And that's the objective of Heartfelt Dreams Foundation, is we want to make sure that every baby, every child, every young adult, every older adult receive the proper care and treatment that they need for this lifelong condition for which there is no cure. And so we provide hotel accommodations, free transportation to get patients from northern New Hampshire into specialty heart centers, primarily in Boston,
right,
so they can receive that care and treatment. And we encourage patients, and just meeting patients as I go around the community, it's interesting how many people I've been introduced to who have a relative with a congenital heart defect and tell me that they don't see their cardiologist. They don't care for their condition. And that's a mistake. And so we're trying to change that and raise awareness for this condition.
So what can you do if you have a congenital heart defect? What are some of the ways in which that can be treated?
Well, in most cases, the congenital heart defect patient has to have surgery. And they either have surgery as an infant or as a child, sometime in early life. And then what happens as a patient ages and grows, and the heart is a muscle, and that changes over time, there oftentimes is a need for what's called a repair procedure. And that repair surgery can be pretty complex. And a lot of patients don't know that that will be a condition that they deal with. And as we all grew up, as teenagers and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, we felt we were invincible. We didn't need to pay attention to our health conditions. But in this case, the heart doesn't get better. It only can be repaired. Mm-hmm. And so we try to encourage patients to go see their doctor, see a specialty cardiologist that is familiar with congenital heart defects and the treatment of those conditions, and maintain that regimen throughout their adult life. And that is a challenge because a lot of patients don't want to do that.
So unlike, cholesterol or high blood pressure, things you can control through, you know, through behavior and through food and, you know, things like, you know, too much sodium or, bad fats and that kind of thing, a congenital heart defect, that's something you're born with. It's like a defective valve, something like that, right?
That's correct. And in fact, in the case of my wife, as an example, she was born with a hole in her heart. And so that can only be sewn up and repaired. We have dealt with patients, local patients, and in one case, this was a young mother. She was about to deliver a baby, and her congenital heart defect is that her heart is backward in her chest. And so there are about 35, 36 different kinds of defects that have been diagnosed, and each one presents with a unique and complex treatment.
And the most common detection modality, is that just really the pediatrician listening to your chest kind of thing? Or
it is. More and more babies are diagnosed with congenital heart defects than have been in the past. But it is interesting that there is a specialty involved in even listening through a stethoscope and understanding the beating of the heart and whether or not there's a defect in a valve and so on. But today's medical technology has advanced to a point that there's testing that can be done. Congenital heart defects can now be diagnosed in the womb. And so a mother can be told that she will deliver a baby with a congenital heart defect. So the doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals are prepared to support the family. But it's often a shock to the family. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, when we are contacted through our website, through referrals from doctors, the families are surprised, they're shocked, they have other children to deal with. The mother is going to be out of work, the father can't work, and so there are needs of these families that they can't get anywhere else. And so they come to Heartfelt Dreams Foundation, and we try to provide them with that kind of support, be it transportation, be it accommodations, helping with their medical insurance. It's amazing that, we're dealing with a New Hampshire patient right now that could not get treatment at a major hospital because of her insurance condition. And we know how to help that patient, so we walk them through that process.
What are some of the ways in which somebody from the community can get involved as a volunteer supporter at Heartfelt Dreams?
Well, we have been fortunate, especially in the last couple of years, having more and more people contact us. And the primary means of contacting us is through our website. Yep. It's very user-friendly, and there are contact forms that can be filled out, and we respond to every communication through our website to solicit volunteers to help out with our events. We have a golf event coming up in July at the Overlook Golf Club in Hollis, and we love to have volunteers come out and help us with the event through organization or going out in the community and soliciting local businesses to help sponsor the event. We have volunteers that help us with identification of patients. And one of the challenges that we had faced, and we're working through this challenge now, is keeping track of all the patients, because this is a lifelong patient for us. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that we have their current contact information. And so databases become really important. And we've had some really interesting people contact us that are retired teachers. They want to help us with their database. We have a retired math teacher, from a high school math teacher, that likes to make quilts. And part of our program is Quilt to Care, where we provide nice quilts and baby blankets to patients and their families. And this teacher is sending us baby blankets that she has made and baby quilts that she has mm-hmm. made. So we welcome volunteers, and we'll find a place for them to help out these patients and their families.
Now, Eric, I was sad to read on your website that your golf tournament, that you don't have any opportunities for people to become a sponsor or get a ticket. It's totally sold out. Is that right?
No, the golf event is not yet sold out.
Fantastic. Good to know.
It's interesting. This is our fourth, and we always like to get the date from the golf course as early as possible so right. we can start promoting.
So July 29th.
July 29th. We do have on our website.
Yep.
Sponsorship opportunities for local businesses to sponsor the total event, and we recognize them. We're very much into promoting local companies and giving them the opportunity to get their name out there and be recognized for the assistance that they're providing. We also have flyers that we're distributing, and we're going out to the local community, supporting local sports teams and sports organizations, and encouraging people to become more involved as we become involved. And Heartfelt Dreams Foundation right now is a sponsor of the Hollis Brookline Cal Ripken Youth Baseball Program.
Yep.
And so we enjoy doing that. We enjoy getting out into the local community and giving back in addition to asking. And we don't want just to be a charity that is always asking.
And you're also looking for donations for the golf tournament. You also have, it looks like, a silent auction going on during the lunchtime. Is that right?
Our silent auction has turned into a wonderful program.
Yeah.
And very much we are supporters of radio, both FM and AM.
Yeah.
And we've been fortunate since almost our inception to have WOKQ Country Radio come to our event.
Nice.
And they broadcast live from our event during the lunch time, where we provide lunch to the golfers. And that's when our silent auction really takes off. And they host our silent auction and make it a fun event.
That's great.
And right now we have, probably 20 donated items that we can auction off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a real popular part of our golf event. Our golf event, while it is a fundraiser, we really focus our attention on having fun and
yeah.
bringing the golfers out to have a fun day on a beautiful golf course.
Spread the mission,
raise awareness for congenital heart defect patients.
Mm-hmm.
And the silent auction has become a big part of that.
Now, I know that when we were talking about what you actually do, you mentioned, helping families with some of the transportation or accommodations, things associated with treatment, if you have to go, say, to Boston, to the hospital, that kind of thing. But I know you do other things as well. I was looking at your how we help on your website, and it looks like there's a bunch of things. There's grants, there's scholarships. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as I was mentioning, Mike, we very much wanted to give back. And so through the personal experience that my wife and I have had with dealing with congenital heart defects, we realized the importance of the specialty cardiology community, mm-hmm. of the cardiac care nurses. And so we have an academic nursing scholarship that we provide. It's a $5,000 scholarship, and that is given out each year to a worthy nursing student or nurse that is progressing in a career for cardiac care. And last year alone, we had over 300 applicants for that scholarship. We also started 2 years ago a program to support the cardiology fellows, the young doctors that are being educated in cardiology and want to specialize in congenital heart defect treatment. And so we provide a grant to these desperately needing funding cardiology fellows. These are the young doctors that are working long hours and not making a lot of money. And so they need help. And so our cardiology fellowship grant has become a popular tool for us to be able to support those young doctors in their journey. We also, there's a new program that we've started called Heart to Imagine. And this is one that I'm really passionate about. And this is, it's a Make-A-Wish type program. The congenital heart defect children are oftentimes cloistered, for a no better term than, their parents are very nervous about them participating in physical activities, be it sports or dancing or even music. And we want to encourage congenital heart defect children to do that, because they need to exercise the heart muscle. And so through our Heart to Imagine program, we received donations of fun activities. And in one case, we were able to send a little three-year-old boy who had gone through a lot of surgeries to a Jurassic Park Live program that's been traveling around the country.
So cool.
And more recently, we had donation of Broadway show tickets. And a 17-year-old girl, first time she was having open-heart surgery, she was terrified. She was having problems in school because of it. And we got on a Zoom call with her and talked to her about thinking ahead and thinking about what she wanted to do after the surgery. And she said all she wanted to do was dance. And she didn't really care what kind of dancing. She just wanted to be able to dance. And so we connected with her after her surgery, had a nice donation of Broadway show tickets, provided those Broadway show tickets to she and her mother, and enjoyed the photograph from inside a Broadway show with the playbill for the show six, as she enjoyed now dancing.
That's fantastic.
And now she's been able to dance.
Eric, we are out of time. I think we could go on about this for quite some time, and I just so appreciate you coming to our show and talking today the Heart Defects Community and Heartfelt Dreams Foundation. It's fantastic.
Well, Mike, we appreciate all that the United Way of Nashua is doing.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Eric from Heartfelt Dreams Foundation. Find out more information about them on the web, heartfeltdreamsfoundation.org. Really great organization. Get involved with sponsoring their upcoming golf tournament. Learn more about what they do, and try to make a difference in our community. We will be back next week with another great show of Community Connections next Monday at 9 a.m. Until next week, please remember, be kind to one another, because great things really do happen when we live united.